Let's go. When the voices arise from the storm and the storm and immortalized, you can find me below. I'll let the enemy know. When the voices arise from the storm and the storm and immortalized, you can find me below. What is good? What is good? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, and I would like to welcome you back once again to the NFL Preview.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
It's the AFC East Edition.
That's right. Look at that. Put some steak on it. That's what I'm talking about.
I put that Vince McMahon steak on it.
Ooh, I like that. Okay.
All right.
Now I'm hyped. That was my man, Big Sin. I'm your boy, Hollywood J. Black, alive in the building once again. Me and Big Sin, as you just said it, the NFL. And you know how we do it about this time. He said AFC East. The AFC Beast or the AFC Least, depending on who you believe in. But the one thing that still remains, and I probably think that we're going to agree, is that if one man starts, that this the kings of the division will stay the kings of the division. But we got to see if that happens. But before we get into the kings of the division, we have to start it right at the bottom where everything went to crap.
Started from the bottom, now we're here.
That's right.
Started from the bottom, now we're here.
And what I'm talking about is the 2019 Miami Dolphins, who had a horrible year except for one game where they
beat the Eagles at the end of the season.
Yes. Which set off a bunch of other things that happened. I think that was the catalyst of that New England loss that was in Tennessee. That was something else, but changes are coming, right? Changes are big. Changes are here, and we are going to talk about those changes. What is your thoughts about the Miami Dolphins this year before we get into the draft picks and the schedule and all that?
So I am a biased party when it comes to this division, but I do give teams credit when credit is due. And I credit Brian Flores because half his team quit in the first half of last season. They gave up on everything when they were 0-6. They did not want to fucking perform. They did not want to play for this man. And then Brian Flores and Ryan Fitzpatrick got together, and they kind of turned it around. They turned into a 5-win season from going 0-6.
Yeah. Which, if you think, they went 6-5 at the end of the season.
No,
They went five and five. So, which is hilarious because we've always called the Miami Dolphins the kings of 500, right? They're the kings of 500 football. And for them to finish the season at 500 after starting the season 0-6 is the epitome of Miami Dolphins football.
You're not wrong.
You have to look at a lot of things. They traded Kenyon Drake, who was their number one running back. Kenyon Drake had a monster season in Arizona after he got traded. Matter of fact, he was a catalyst of that running game that they desperately needed down in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So I still don't even know who's on that team. Is it Jabari Parker?
Dolphins team?
Yeah.
Let's see. So, at quarterback, we got Fitz, Josh Rosen, and Tua Tagovailoa. At running back, we got Matt Breida, Jordan Howard, Miles Gaskin, and some other motherfuckers. At wide receiver, we got Devontae Parker.
I said Jabari Parker.
And, huh?
I said Jabari Parker.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, you did. Devontae Parker.
My bad.
And some other motherfuckers I know, and some other motherfuckers I never heard of. And the reason I never heard of some of these motherfuckers is this. Because on the NFL COVID list, Albert Wilson and Allen Hurns are sitting out this season.
So we know Allen Hurns is. And Albert Wilson was their other receiver.
Yep. They're both out this season.
But in spite of that, the Dolphins actually – it wasn't that the Dolphins were bad defensively. It's just that they were on the field way too much. They couldn't get shit done. Ryan Fitzpatrick actually came on really well during at the other half of the season. It just was what it was.
Ryan Fitzpatrick proved what everybody already knew, that he is all heart.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be amazing to think what would happen if Ryan Fitzpatrick was on a really good team. You know what I'm saying? Like, the team was just really already built, and they just needed a quarterback to be a quarterback. And that's why I've always felt bad about Ryan Fitzpatrick, because I think he's one of the most cerebral quarterbacks in the NFL. He's not athletic. He's not Michael Vick. He doesn't kill you with his arm like Patrick Mahomes. He's not as gunslinging like Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers, but he's a little bit of everything if he needs to be. Remember, Ryan Fitzpatrick became famous because of that one long-ass run in Buffalo that he did when he dropped back and all the receivers were covered on the left-hand side of the field. And he just took off on the right-hand side of the field. He outran everyone for a touchdown. That is the signature Ryan Fitzpatrick.
And that's when Fitzmagic was born.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think that him being in the position that he's in, building off of what they're going to do, it's good because they don't have to put all the pressure on Tua to come in this season and perform. I think this is a three-year build, okay? I think that this is year one, was, of course, last year. This is year two, I think, to get Tua up to speed, but not put the pressure on him to come in and play. I say maybe that he plays around week 11, week 12 at the most. I don't see him playing on the first half of the season unless shit goes really bad. Okay. I think Fitzpatrick can instill that Miami 500 football, you know what I'm saying? That Miami tradition of 500 football, which you never know. They can go 9-7 and accidentally make the playoffs. Who knows in this damn AFC? This shit just is wild. But at the end of the day, it comes down to who is going – it's going to come down to building the future, right? The defense is okay. They're not great, but they're not bad either. They make plays. They know how to cover Bill Belichick's and Josh McDaniels' offense, which is probably about as good as you're going to get at this point, right? There's not too many coaches outside of Matt Vrabel and the coach of the Lions. I always forget his name.
Matt Patricia.
Patricia, yeah, Matt Patricia. Mike Vrabel, Matt Patricia. Those are really the only two that – can cover a Bill Belichick's Josh McDaniels offense. So we are where we are, but let's go over the draft picks that we have from them from this year. They got some good studs. They had 10 draft picks this year. So pull it up. We have Tua Tagovailoa. We have Austin Jackson, Raekwon Davis, Malcolm Perry, Noah Abinahini, Robert Hunt, Jason Strowbridge. I covered his name, so I can't see what it says under Kinley. Brandon Jones, and your boy, whoever that is, from Boise.
So you mentioned Tua, Austin Jackson, Noah Raekwon Davis, Brandon Jones, Solomon Kinley, Jason Strowbridge, Curtis Weaver, Blake Ferguson, and Malcolm Perry.
Yeah, Weaver, I think that's who that is. Weaver, that because his name's not on this little list. So it's fine. But that's good, though, because listen, they drafted an offensive tackle and a quarterback in the first round. Then they drafted an edge rusher, a defensive tackle and a running back eventually as we go around Robert. Then they drafted another tackle. They drafted a ton of protection. I think if you look at it, this was one, two. They drafted four offensive linemen in the first round. You know what I'm saying? You look at that. That's impressive. Then they drafted a running back.
In the first round, they drafted quarterback, offensive tackle, and corner.
I mean, not in the first round. I meant the draft as a whole. So, my bad. They drafted four offensive linemen in the draft, which is crazy if you think about it, because you have a quarterback, and then you draft a whole lineman set. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, we're all in on this quarterback business, which is good because we know Tua has a shaky injury history, right? Sometimes he doesn't know no better. So when you get a quarterback that don't know no better sometimes, you got to protect him.
But can I bring up the free agent signings real quick?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
All right, so this offseason they signed Jordan Howard, Byron Jones, Kyle Van Noy, Ted Karras, Eric Flowers, Landon Roberts, Clayton Fehlen, Emmanuel Ogba, Shaq Lawson, Amu Grugier-Hill, and Kayvon Frazier. Now, three of those players are from the New England Patriots, the Van Noy, Karras, and Landon Roberts.
Yes, they are. And now we talk about Matt Breida. Matt Breida is a former 49er, very familiar with him. That's going to be interesting because he knows how to run. He was just the odd man out in San Francisco when Raheem Mostert just went ape shit. You know what I'm saying? In the playoffs. This is going to be interesting.
Especially with Van Noy and Landon Roberts, you know how Brian Flores works because they played for him for a few years in New England.
Which was interesting because Van Noy was talking. Well, didn't Van Noy retire or was talking retirement?
No, Van Noy is nowhere near retirement.
No, but the word was he was talking about retirement because that cat
signed a 4-year deal with Miami.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I remember I could have swore. Let me take a bite of this. I'm hungry. I'm sorry. I could have swore that Van Noy at some point last year after the season was over was the word was because he's young. He's not even in his late 20s yet, right? I think we're talking about a young guy.
I think he's 29.
There was a discussion about him retiring. He's the one that brought it up, not us. And he was like, I don't know. I was like, maybe – I think his heart was gone from it. I have to look up the article somewhere. But then all of a sudden when he became a free agent, boom, contract.
Robin Noy's a difference maker. He was wasted in Detroit.
Yeah.
He was a number one. He was a first round draft pick. Detroit did not know how to use.
Yep.
Went over to Bill Belichick's system, became an absolute monster with Matt Patricia and Brian Flores as his coaches for the last 4 years. And now he went and got paid. I do not blame him for going paid.
No, at some point you got to, because you know New England is only going to pay you what Bill Belichick wants to pay you, not necessarily what you're worth, because what those two things are two different things. I mean, Bill Belichick believes in shut down corners. That's why he was willing to give Darrelle Revis the contract that he did. You know,
gave Gilmore the contract. Yep,
and now they gave him the contract. He believes in three things. He believes if he's in offense, he believes in the blind side tackle. With a blind side guard or tackle, whatever. The guy that's on the outer left.
Left
tackle. He believes the blind side tackle if you're a right-handed quarterback. He believes in rushers, which is why Vince Wilfork always got paid very well. And he believes in corners, shutdown corners. Those are the three things he absolutely believes in. And those are always going to be the three things that he pays the highest. If you go over the years and look at the consistency of who he's paid, that's who he's paid.
And let's call a spade a spade. He never paid Tom Brady.
No, he never did. And that is what it is, and that's a discussion. And you know what it is? You know what it is? This is how it goes. Tom Brady had all the choice in the world of whether he wanted to get paid or not, okay? He could have left. He chose not to because I think they made him feel about winning. You know, you probably hear the rumblings that you have a good in New England that you probably shouldn't leave. And he has money. He has a TB12 Academy, all the endorsements, everything else. He makes more money off of endorsements and his TB12 Academy than probably does with the NFL contract. But at some point, he probably thought to himself, you know what? I hear all these rumblings. I need to find out for myself who I am. Subsequently, that's where he left. He had to prove himself.
We're gonna find out this year if it was. I mean, it could be a wash. It could be equal parts both. If it was a system quarterback, like many people call Tom Brady, a system quarterback.
Yeah.
Or was it Tom Brady's greatness, or Bill Belichick's coaching? That's where we're gonna see.
So you know what the messed up part about it is that the reason why that is all being said is because of one crazy ass season where Matt Castle went 11-5 with New England and New England still didn't make the playoffs. Okay, this is literally the only reason, because had it not been for that season,
also Jimmy Garoppolo was 2-0 and before anybody knew what the hell he was. Before anybody knew who he was, Jacoby Brissett was 1-1.
Yeah.
Brandon knew what he was. So
okay. But we gotta look at these things. But people want to see that. That's perception, right? The reality is that if New England would have made the playoffs had they went 12-4. Remember the five teams that they lost to, had they beat
them? They lost to the Dolphins, who we're talking about right now.
Yeah. Had they beat the Dolphins, they would have been in the playoffs. Simple as that.
Let's go ahead and take a look at this Dolphins schedule, sir.
Yeah, which is a very interesting schedule indeed. So this is what we're looking at.
Okay. They open the season at New England.
Yep. Then we have the Bills game at home. The Jacksonville game on the road, which is technically still a home game because it's in Florida. We have the Seahawks at home, the Niners on the road, the Broncos on the road, the Chargers at home, and the Rams at home, the Cardinals on the road, the Jets at home, got the bye week, then the Jets on the road, the Bengals at home, the Chiefs at home, and the Patriots at home. That three-game homestand right there is crazy. And then at Las Vegas at the Raiders, then at Buffalo. Ooh.
So I'm looking at this as they're going to split with New England. They'll split with the Jets. I think they lose both games to the Bills. I think they go 2-4 in the division.
And they go 2-4. So I want to say year two of Fitzmagic. Everything to me is relying on Cam Newton in New England. That's where my problem is. I don't see them beating the Patriots twice, especially
the quarterback. I see that week one game. I think that's a New England win right there week one. The late season at Miami, that's the one that Miami's going to win.
Yeah. I see them losing one of these back to – technically you got to call it a back-to-back because it's the Jets game by and then the Jets game again on the road. I think they lose that Jets game. I think they can pull off 2 out of 3 at home, sadly, against New England, because we know New England has been having those problems. Late season in Miami, they get too close for comfort 2 years in a row. They played down in Miami, and 2 years in a row, late in the season, some fucked up shit happens. 2 years ago, it was the punt? The fucked up punt and shit? Or the Hail Mary. Was it the Hail Mary or the punt? Oh, no. The flea flicker play. That 2 years ago. And then Bill Belichick got to shake this, man.
Last year was Fitzpatrick with their 5-yard run to the end zone.
Yeah.
And he couldn't tackle him.
Yep. That's like the that's the devil right there. That's the devil game. Late season against Miami on the road. I think they can beat the Bills.
So I'm going 8-8.
You're going 8-8?
I'm going to make them a 500 team this year.
All right. So I'll tell you what I'm looking at. They'll lose to New England at home. I mean on the road. They will lose to Buffalo at home. They'll lose to Jacksonville at home, lose to the Seahawks at home, lose to the Niners at home. Here's where the fun happens. They'll beat the Broncos, beat the Chargers. I think they also pull off the upset against the Rams. So that's 3-5. Beat the Cardinals. No, lose to the Cardinals. 3-6. Beat the Jets at home. That's 4-6. Lose to the Jets at home. I mean, on the road. That's 4-7. Beat the Bengals 5-7. Lose to the Chiefs. That's 5-8. I'm going to give the Patriots the benefit of the doubt and say that the Patriots are going to beat them at home if Cam Newton is playing, and then they'll beat the Raiders. No, they'll lose to the Raiders, but they'll beat the Bills. No, they'll beat the Raiders, lose to the Bills. One of those two. One of those two are going to happen. So
I got them loss, win, loss. So 8-8.
Okay. That sounds fair. That sounds fair. So given the state of that, that's kind of just like where we're at right now. Like, it really is going to be depending on when we get to the first team, because Jarrett Stidham and the Patriots versus Cam Newton and the Patriots are literally two different Patriots teams. So when we get to the Patriots, I think I might have to give a schedule. Like, I might have to give a two different records for both of them, because I don't know which way this is going to go. Be dead honest. All right, so on to the next squad,
which is the New York Football Jets.
Now, the good news is that they found their quarterback. I think they found their quarterback, okay? Remember, this is the same man that beat the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas in front of a packed house. What you looking
at? Did they cut Joe Flacco?
I don't know. Did they cut Joe Flacco?
Hold on. He's not on the quarterback list.
Let's look up Joe Flacco.
Oh, no. He's on the Jets. Okay. He's still on the Jets.
Okay. I'm about to say.
Oh, you got to cut this motherfucker before the season started?
Well, yeah, that would have been fast as fuck.
I wouldn't blame him, but. Oh, I found him. He was buried.
All right, there we go.
All right, so the New York Football Jets, they have been tough unless they're playing New England.
Yeah. Yeah.
Last year, they're coming from the infamous IC Coast game at New England, where New England just got 14 sacks in the game against.
Yeah. Well, all right. So let's start with the Jets real quick. Okay. So the Jets are a tale of two teams. All right. There's the Jets that are motivated. That quarterback. His name leaves my lips every time. I can't remember.
Are you talking about Sam Darnold?
Darnold. Yes. Darnold. I want to say Sam Arnold. Why do I keep wanting to say Arnold?
Because it's hey, Arnold.
That's what he looks like with that blonde hair. Arnold fucking ass.
He's not blonde. He's got brown hair.
He's got blondish brown hair. He's got that light brown.
No, it is dark. Remember the Icy Ghost comment? It was dark brown hair.
Well, he must have dyed it, because when that motherfucker came out, he had that blondish brown hair where the motherfucker looked like a diva.
I think you're thinking of somebody else, man.
No, Trevor Lawrence has the long blonde dark hair. I know that. Sam Darnold has like the Ed Sheeran hair. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about, Iggy.
No. Sam Darnold does not have my hair.
Watch. Let me pull up. That nigga had that Ed Sheeran joint, Ed Sheeran cut last year.
Yeah, he is a ginger. Now that I look at it.
Oh, yes, he has that. See? There you go. Well, you know, see, this is weird because you look at the picture, this nigga look like a young version of Andy Dalton now. See, I don't know. That nigga look like angry Andy Dalton. That's what it fucking looks like. That's what we're going to call him, angry Andy Dalton. That makes sense?
Don't call him angry Andy?
Angry Andy. Arr! So, Sam Darnold is the...
I see ghosts.
Well, he should. I mean, after what happened with him in New England, fuck. That's when the defense became the boogeyman. Oh, man, I was like, wow. But, yeah, so Darnold is their quarterback. He's entrenched at that position. I don't doubt that he's going to be the quarterback of the future. I doubt the Jets' ability to put weapons around him to develop him and make him a great quarterback. That's where my problem is with New England. The New York Jets. The bigger piece of this picture is that they got rid of Robbie Anderson. Robbie Anderson, who's their number one receiver, gone. It probably off the better pastures, actually, depending on who and you ask.
Why are you talking about getting rid of people that COVID holdouts? Are Josh Dotson, C.J. Mosley, and Leo Kalamatangi?
Isn't Dotson a receiver?
Yes, he is.
Thinking they're gonna be throwing footballs to bums and fucking grocery baggers. It's gonna be inverted.
So, go ahead. So right now, the wide receiver core is Brandon Berrios, Lawrence Kager, George Campbell, Jason Cleason, Jamison Crowder, Chris Hogan, Josh Malone, Denzel Mims, Rashard Perryman, Jeff Smith, and Vincent Smith. Chris Hogan has now played for every team in the AFC East.
Wow. Yeah. Sadly enough, that is true. I always thought that Chris Hogan was going to be the guy that replaced Julian Edelman. I thought that that's what his end game was going to be. Because when we seen him play, we was like, this is young Julian with deep ball skill. You know what I'm saying?
And he's actually...
Yeah. And then all of a sudden...
Hi.
He said, I went to Carolina, then I went to Jets, and then I think he went to Buffalo.
Yeah, yeah,
I was like, what the fuck you doing, man? Like, come on, bro. But it's fine. It's no big deal. It is what it is. The reality of the situation is this, though. So the Jets are probably are going to be worse off this season because they lost so many people. And their coach is still ass. Do you really trust Adam Gase? Do you really trust Adam Gase?
Hell no. Hell no.
Adam, when your coach comes to the press conference talking about, and that is the highlight of your season, you're fucked, okay?
So let's talk about their signings real quick before we get into the draft. Yeah. They signed Josh Andrews, Pierre Desir, George Font, Connor McGovern, Patrick Onwuzor, Rashard Perryman, Craig Van Rotten, Frank Gore, and Joe Flacco. Frank Gore has now played for every AFC East team but the New England Patriots.
True. All right. Before we get into the rest of this clusterfuck, let's talk about who they drafted. Hopefully, they drafted people that are actually decent. Let's take a look.
And you got the picture up?
Yeah, look at that. Look at it halfway. See? You got to be like this.
All right. So their draft is Ty Beckton, Denzel Mims, Ashlyn Davis, Jabari Zuniga, LaMichael Perrine, James Tittamorgan, Cameron Clark, Bryce Hall, and a punter, Braden Mann.
Punter Man.
Sounds like a fucking Mega Man villain. This is Punter Man. So Denzel Mims is obviously a good wide receiver.
Yeah.
Mekhi Becton.
Yeah, he's decent. I mean, he's an offensive tackle. They drafted him high enough. He must be good at his job. But he was really highly touted. I'm bullshit.
Hold on. Look at the camera. I'm looking at you weird right now. You gotta think that Mekhi Becton played on the line, on the side of the line that Lamar Jackson refused to run on his senior year.
Oh, well, you know, well. Maybe he had bad body. Maybe he had bad body odor, okay? Maybe that was the reason. I mean, you don't know. We got to ask Lamar these things.
You know what I think?
What?
I think they drafted him because Joe Flacco was like, yeah, fuck Lamar Jackson.
Well, he was supposed to tell the Ravens who to draft, not the Jets. Because that benefits him in no way, shape, or form at all.
Let's get these clowns out of the way. I'm tired of looking around them.
But it's fun. You get to look around and go, look.
Damn. I smell 4-12 without even looking at the schedule.
That's gonna be one for the video right there, right?
Yeah, if you listen to our podcast, you just missed some magic.
Yeah, that's gonna be beautiful. Just look at, oh my god, really?
Oh, fuck. Oh man, too bad all the draft picks didn't look like that.
Yeah, I know, right? We should have thought of that one. That's what we should have done next time. Next time,
but of course it comes at the expense of the New York Jets.
Yes. I swear, this team doesn't know how to run a fucking franchise. Let's get to the schedule.
All right. So they start off with Buffalo loss. Then they go to 49ers loss. Then they got the Colts loss. Then they got the Broncos loss. Then they got the Cardinals loss. Then they got the Chargers, maybe a win. Yeah, Buffalo again loss. Chiefs loss. Patriots loss. Dolphins loss. Dolphins win. Raiders, maybe a win because they seem to beat better teams. Seahawks loss, Rams loss, Browns loss, Patriots loss. I'm looking at 3-13 for the New York Jets.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yes. I am very down on the Jets this year. I'm down on the Jets every year. And this is where my bias is going to show. Fuck those guys.
If they were playing the Cowboys, I could just guarantee a win in that game. I'm bad. I'm so horrible.
This schedule is not an easy schedule. The easiest game to possibly set the second Dolphins game and the fucking Broncos, and that's not even guaranteed.
No, not at all, because we don't know what Broncos team is going to show up. Because the Broncos are good defensively, we just don't know what offense is going to pull up to the party.
Exactly. Like I said, I got them at 3-13.
You know what? I'm inclined to agree with you on this one. I was actually thinking 2-14 because I was thinking maybe the split with the Bills and then maybe the split with the Dolphins, and that's it. I even think that the Chargers can obviously possibly.
I don't think they beat the Bills at all this year. I think the Bills and the Patriots sweep them. I think the Jets go 1-6 in the division, 1-5 in the division.
I'm here for it. Okay, I'm here for it. Okay, I let me pull up my screen again. Sorry, Okay,
fine. I know New York Jets fans because he's a Patriots fan. No. It ain't that. The team is asshole garbage. That's why I don't like them.
No, that's it. They got rid of people and didn't really add anybody decent. This is going to be a really young team. This team's going to be younger than the Dolphins. they're trending the wrong way. So, like I said, I see 2-14. I can sit here.
Are you going 2-14?
Yeah, I'm going 2-14 because I think the Chargers can beat them. Dead honest, if you want me to be honest.
Tyrod Taylor has that big game.
Yeah. Plus, he knows how to play against Adam Gase. So there's that, you know.
My God. So moving on, we are going to move on to the Buffalo Bills, the toughest defense in the AFC last year. The team that gave New England could not finish the Patriots off when it counted in their games.
Yeah.
The Patriots beat them twice last season.
Yeah, after having to come back to beat the Bills. The Patriots had to come back and beat the Bills both times. Which shows that the Bills know how to play in the New England for 3 quarters, and that's about it.
But it's kind of sad that over the last 20 years, Tom Brady has a better record in Buffalo than all their starting quarterbacks combined.
Yeah. Yeah. it's kind of sad, actually. It's kind of sad. All jokes aside, this Buffalo Bills team, outside of playing against New England, is a really, really, really good football team.
They added Stephon Diggs this offseason.
Yes. A big body target for Josh Allen to hit. I mean, if you don't get it to Stephon Diggs, then you're probably just a shitty quarterback, which is why I always say that Kirk Cousins isn't worth his money. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. This is a growing – this is a new life has been built in Buffalo. They've steadily climbed the ladder, slowly but surely. 6-10 seasons, 7-9 seasons, 8-8 seasons, 9-7 seasons. We even had a Kyle Orton season in one of those seasons. Tyrod Taylor got them to the playoffs. It's been tumultuous, but Josh Allen seems to be the truth. He's kind of the best of both worlds. He gives zero fuck.
You know what we call him? We call Josh Allen Michael Vick.
Yeah, Michael Vick. White Mike, baby, White Mike.
White Mike Josh Allen.
He's really fast, deceptively fast. He's not afraid to run the ball. He's not afraid to get hit. He's a big dude that went to Wyoming that gives zero fucks about anything, anyone, and everywhere. He just wants to win football games, and that's
the type. He has a cannon for an arm.
Yeah, we haven't seen anything like that in Buffalo since Doug Flutie, because we know that Doug Flutie, for his short ass, used to love to run the ball and used to love to sling that shit downfield. The good thing is that Ralph Wilson, God rest his soul, no longer owns the team because he passed away, and he can't have any say in having Doug Flutie out there. So Josh Allen has free reign to do what he wants as long as he progresses. Having Stephon Diggs, a big body receiver, is probably the biggest way to progress. Get his progressions up.
And they also traded for Corey Coleman.
Yeah. Yep. And in this case, you got to think now is that now you have a receiver that is going to demand the double coverage. That's not going to be on a Gilmore Island by himself. There's going to be double coverage on there, which opens up the field for Josh Allen to do Josh Allen things. That was the problem last year. They didn't have a true number one. To do things like that. So Stephon Gilmore would just shut down one side of the field, and then you had to work with the rest of it. Now you're going to have to bring another corner to fuck with Stephon Diggs, and that's going to be fun. Not fun for me. It's going to be fun for Buffalo because they're going to be able to do everything.
So the COVID holdouts for the Buffalo Bills by E.J. Gaines, which is a hurt because he was one of the best defenders last year, and Star – Lutelay.
Oh, he was an offensive lineman, right?
Offensive tackle, yeah.
Yep. Lutelay. That's going to be a rough one because Star Lutelay was one of the ones that really opened up things for Josh Allen. But I think they got a replacement for him, if I'm not sure, in free agency. We'll check that out in a minute. But let's go first things first. Let's check out the draft picks that are on hand.
So, four of their 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Four of their 11 draft picks were traded to the Minnesota Vikings for Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
So in the draft, they picked up AJ Espensa, Zach Moss, Gabriel Davis. For the third year in a row, they drafted another quarterback, Big Fromm, Tyler Bass, Isaiah Hodgins, and Dane Jackson.
The surprising part is that Jake Fromm went so freaking low, man. I didn't see that coming.
But you know what else? You know what else we can't see with Jake Fromm?
What?
Just like the NFL, we can't see his face because our logo is in his face.
Yeah, I did not expect Jake Fromm to go round five. I thought at least round three, no more than round four, but round five, late round five at that. Oh. Well, no, mid round five, but still, they got Zach Moss because they needed a running back. They got AJ Epenesa, which they needed.
Well, I'm looking down on their draft right now.
You know what though? It's not a bad draft. Gabriel
Davis out of UCF is a good wide receiver. Yeah, AJ Spencer is a decent defender.
Considering that Gabriel Davis played with three different quarterbacks last year in UCF and still put up incredible numbers. Yeah, that's definitely a thing. Zach Moss, he put up big numbers in Utah. I was surprised he went round three. I thought that was easily going to be a consensus round two pick because, you know, they don't give a shit about running backs in the NFL as far as the draft goes. Fromm is a shocker. They got a kicker. Hodges is going to be that short dude that they're going to have to probably build up. And Dane Jackson is going to be an interesting pick out of pick to see if he makes the roster or not. That's going to be an interesting one. So, so now, free agents, who did they add on this year?
Let's see. We got the free agent list.
Yeah.
Not a whole – nothing is in the thing. Reggie Gilliam, Nate Becker, Markel Harrell, Victor Sulaco, Brandon Walton, and Delshawn Phillips. That's and Josh Thomas. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's get to the schedule because I think we can sit here and praise all we want to Buffalo and the things that they've done. They're being coached well, they're defensively stout. They have the number three defense in the NFL. Remember, it was hilarious that the top five defenses in the NFL actually made it to the second round of the playoffs. They did it. And so let's talk about the schedule real quick though. Because man.
All right, so this schedule here is a little weird. So the AFC East is tasked with the toughest schedules in the NFL this year. So we got the Jets, Dolphins, Rams, Raiders, Titans, Chiefs, Jets, Patriots, Seahawks, Cardinals, Chargers, Niners, Steelers, Broncos, Patriots, and Dolphins. I think they start off with wins in their first four games. I think they win those first four. Then they drop that one to Tennessee. A Tennessee game is going to be tough for Buffalo.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. What are you saying?
No, I was going to say, I feel like the Raiders play everyone this year.
Seems like they do, don't it?
Yeah, because this is going to be episode three. Five. No, episode five. And I feel like we've talked about them in every single episode.
And we haven't even covered their division yet.
Yeah, we haven't talked about their division. I felt like we've talked about at least twice or three times in every show that we've done, and I feel like they play everyone at this point. So
for the first time in a long time for the Buffalo Bills, they have 1, 2, 3, 4 primetime games this year.
Oh, yeah. Bills Mafia is on point. That's probably the most entertaining thing about Buffalo, especially when it's cold and you ain't got shit to do. Bills fucking Mafia, bitch. Go through a fucking table that's on fire. Okay.
So, like I said, I say 4-0 to start the season. Drop the game against Tennessee. Drop the game against Kansas City. Beat the Jets, Patriots in this game. So we're looking at 6-2 so far to start the season. I think they beat Seattle 7-2. Beat Arizona 8-2. Beat the Chargers 9-2. Lose to the Niners 9-3. Lose to the Steelers 9-4. Beat the Broncos 10-4, lose to the Patriots 10-5, lose to the Dolphins 10-6. That is where I'm going with Buffalo Bills.
Okay. Let me work my magic here. Let me stir the pot here real quick. I'm just stirring the shit. All right, so here we go. Agree with the Jets one. I think that's easy. Dolphins, going to be tough. But I think I told you, I said the Dolphins, they're going to beat the Dolphins the second one. Rams, I think that they'll lose to the Rams in this one. And it's an interesting one. And I think they'll lose to the Raiders. So 2-2. But they won't be by much. Then there, here comes the bounce back. They beat Tennessee. I think they upset the Chiefs in Buffalo. They beat the Jets in Week 7 on the road. I think so. That's a sweep. I think they're going to shock the world and beat New England, which will probably, if Cam Newton's not starting by week eight, that's going to be the catalyst to bring Cam Newton in.
You see that in that game at Buffalo, which is why I gave Buffalo that game.
Yeah. So I think then Week 9, they'll beat Seahawks. They'll shock the Seahawks with that defense of theirs. I think they could stop and slow down the Cardinals. They'll beat the Chargers. They'll lose to the 49ers. So what did that have them at? I think that has them at, 9-3? Mm-hmm. So then They'll beat the Steelers 10-3. They'll lose to the Broncos because not necessarily saying the Broncos are beat because that Broncos cold is a totally different thing than Buffalo cold, especially a mile high. They'll lose to the Patriots, and they'll beat the Dolphins. So that put them at 11-5.
All right, so we're almost around the same thought pattern here.
Yeah.
Give or take a game.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good season for the Bills. Like I said, the AFC East schedules are not easy this year. And we are getting ready to talk about, you want to put us back up on screen?
Is it? No, where the hell is it? No.
Down on the bottom, there's one that has both of us. We're there. Yeah. There you go. Don't worry, ladies and gentlemen. Hollywood Jay Black is not a rookie at this. He just acts like it. So next up, we are going to talk about the reigning, defending, 13 years in a row, AFC East champions. And the team that has the toughest schedule in the NFL and the highest turnover in the NFL, the New England Patriots.
I was hoping you would say the reigning, defending, undisputed champions of the AFC. Gotta get that Michael Buffer feeling in there, but the Patriots have went from the cream of the crop in the AFC to this.
We don't know what they are right now.
We don't know. That's what makes this season special. They lost so many people. And I honestly thought, up before the Cam Newton signing, I thought they were going to take the biggest leap down. I thought they, at the most, because of the defense alone, they'd be an 8-8 team. That was their ceiling. But I thought that their defense can win them 8 games. I thought they were going to turn into the Baltimore Ravens of 2000, and just win games based off their defense. And then,
well, hold on. Before we get to Cam, before we talk about Cam, let me talk about the COVID holdout list for the New England Patriots. Yeah. They had eight players opt out due to COVID. Those players include Matt Lacoste, Marquise Lee, Patrick Chung, Dante Hightower, Brandon Bolden, Marcus Cannon, Danny Vitale, and Najee Tokton.
Oh, the worst part about that is that five or six of those are starters. Starters!
Yeah, the starters who opted out were Matt Lacoste, Marquise Lee is a new wide receiver by Jacksonville. We don't know where he was at. Patrick Hightower, Marcus Cannon. Those were all the starters that opted out for the New England Patriots this year.
Marquise Lee is a caliber starting receiver. He would have been literally the best receiver in New England, not named Julian Edelman. Think about this. You get this guy. You get this stud of a wide receiver. He's 6'4", runs a 4.240.
Vertical, he's always hurt. Ridiculous. He's always hurt.
Well, because it's in Jacksonville, everybody's always hurt in Jacksonville, whether it's physical, mental, or emotional. But anyways, that's not the point. The point is that you get this stud wide receiver and you pay him a base contract because you're like, you got to prove that you won't die on the field, okay? And then all of a sudden, he's like, I don't want to die on the field. And hops out for COVID-19.
So all this week in New England again, and then for the first time in NFL history, a team has lost an MVP and gained an MVP.
That is right. Thomas Q. Brady, who left for Tampa Bay, decided to leave in free. I know his name is not Q, but still, okay?
Tommy Q, baby.
Tommy Q football. Tommy football left, went to Tampa Bay. He took his talents to South Florida.
Oh, my God, I've heard that before.
And then decided, New England decided, he said, we looked at this. They probably saw Jared Stidham probably on virtual cam, throwing footballs to somewhere, and those things were getting intercepted by something because they weren't having.
But you say that right now, and the funniest thing about it is, in the first three training camps, Jared Stidham has 7 interceptions.
That's right. That's right. Oh, poor dude. He learned nothing from Tom, did he? You had one job, Jared. You had one job. And it wasn't
Jared.
And it wasn't to eat Subway sandwiches, Jared. It was to eat, it was to score touchdowns, and you failed at that. So Bill Belichick was probably sitting there with Josh McDaniels. He's like, you know, let me get that Bill Belichick voice. So Josh, I seen the tape and we're fucked. So we're gonna have to go. We're gonna have to go get.
I just think about that table that Josh going.
Here you go. We're fucked. Here you go. Here you go.
Hell yeah.
Hey Josh, we're fucked. So we're gonna go to free agent and pick up a quarterback. There's this guy named Cam Newton. I'm not sure if you ever heard of him, but we're going to bring him in for a workout and see what happens.
But we're not going to do it until after free agency is closed.
Yes.
And we don't even know if we have a season yet, but we're going to do it when no other team wants it.
Yes. Well, that way we can offer the lowest, best deal possible, $500,000. That's all I'm going to give him. Okay. If he makes it and he's good for us, then we'll just get the compensatory draft pick when he signs somewhere else next year. But yeah, that's it. Get out of my office, Josh. And that's how it happened. That's how it happened. See? I was there, okay?
Yes, if everybody who watches the NFL is living under a rock, Cam Newton is in New England, along with this list of free agents that have signed. Before we start talking about Cam Newton, let's talk about these other signings they did. They signed Bo Allen, Adrian Phillips, Demir Byrd, Cody Davis, Brandon Copeland, Brian Hoyer, Will Hastings, Brian Lewerke, Isaiah Zuber, Darius Kligo, Tyler Gothard, Lamar Miller, Ben Braden, Paul Butler, and Alex Ellis. Alex Ellis was on the Eagles last year, and Butler was a tight end for the Raiders. So they got two veteran tight ends to match with their two rookie tight ends.
Yeah, pretty much. So that's a lot of free agent signings. I think it's like maybe the fourth most in this offseason.
They signed twice as many people. They signed almost three times as many people that went on COVID.
Yeah. So I mean, that's a lot of people.
Well, besides Cam, besides Cam on here, are the Kligo and Lamar Miller.
Of course.
If Lamar Miller is healthy, he's one of the top running backs in the NFL.
Yeah, and that's the key, though. But they already got – see, the good part about this is they don't even need to start Lamar Miller. They got two really good running backs.
Yeah, Sony and James – they got Sony and James White. Don't forget about Rex Burkhead.
Yeah, they're straight on the running back. If Lamar wants to make the team, he'll make the team. And if he doesn't, they're not worried about it. That's the Patriot way. Either you want in or you fucking don't. That's simply it. That should be the name. Instead of the Patriot way, that should be the slogan for the team. Either you want it or you fucking don't. If you don't fucking don't, we don't need you. You're straight.
Also, I just seen this. The Patriots traded a conditional 2022 seventh round selection to the Lions in exchange for cornerback Mike Jackson Sr.
They traded conditional seventh round draft. What the fuck is a conditional seventh round draft pick
in 2022?
Somebody needs to tell me what. Oh my fucking god!
You know what that draft pick is?
What?
We let you guys have Jamie Collins without trying to even re-sign him. So yes, here's a bullshit draft pick for this player. That's what that was.
A conditional seventh round draft pick. That's like
in 2022.
You'll get this pick if we have a seventh round draft pick. Sorry, if not, you just have to wait till 2023, 2024, 2025, 2026.
So is Bill Belichick, without question, the greatest coach of all time and one of the greatest GMs of all time?
He's on
some of the shit that he does.
Dude, he's on Lombardi levels of greatness when it comes to the balancing the coach and the GM side. This dude's like, when we talk about great coaches and GMs, it goes Belichick, then Pat Riley, and then possibly the dude from the Detroit Red Wings who coached and GM'd the greatest Red Wing squad of all time. But, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's how, Sway, conditional seventh round draft pick, and you get a starting caliber corner. Oh, my
fuck. In 2022. That's not me. In 2022.
He's like, he just approached the shit like this. He's like, yeah, that's all we got.
The seventh round draft pick in 2022, bud.
That's all we got. We know you want to get rid of him, and we got a space for him. Maybe he can make the team, but all we got is this conditional seventh round draft pick, and take it or leave it. That's what it is. Okay, Bill, okay. Yeah, that's what I thought. I mean, yeah, okay, we'll send over the contract and everything.
That's my quarterback. All right, let's talk about the Patriots draft this year.
All right, let's pull it up. Let me see. Where are we at? Oh.
Bing. All right, so we got Kyle Dugger. That is a Bill Belichick named player right there. We have Josh Uche, Anthony Jennings, Devin Asai.
Asi.
Dalton Keene, Justin Vorfrasser, Michael Onuwu, Justin Huron, Cash Malua, and Dustin Woodard.
So I like to start this by saying that the Patriots didn't have a second or a third round draft pick when the day started in the draft. Somehow, they ended up with 2 seconds and 3/3. Because they lost their second, because of the bullshit, some bullshit, whatever, they lost their first round draft pick. No, they lost their second and third round draft pick. Somehow, they traded their first and got into the second twice and the third 3 times. I don't know how the fuck they did it. You know, I don't want to know. Bill, let me tell you something. I love you, Bill. Just don't give away your secrets, okay?
Put your hood back on.
Here we go.
Here's Bill Belichick in the draft room. We don't have a second or third round draft pick, but I'm going to trade this first rounder. Give me all your draft picks.
Boredom. So we're gonna give you a conditional ninth round draft pick in the 2036 drafts.
All three of your thirds.
Yeah, we'll give you a first round draft pick in 2046, and we're gonna split this draft pick in between three teams. Okay, so you're gonna give us you the Falcons. And the Saints are going to give us all your draft picks for this one conditional first rounder in 2046, and that's all we got. We ain't got nothing else. Take it or leave it.
So here's what this is. So the notes for their draft. So okay, here you go. From the Chargers, from Baltimore, from Las Vegas, from Seattle via the Jets, from Las Vegas again, from Detroit via Indianapolis. From Denver, from Houston, from Atlanta. Oh,
fuck.
That's how they pulled off this draft.
This was the greatest robbery since fucking Doc Holliday and Wild Bill Hickok fucking robbed the fucking train.
Hold on. Well, they want to take one of my draft picks, so yeah, I'm going to take everybody else's.
Exactly. This conditional draft pick in 2059. Plus I'll let you drive my boat. You'll be able to ride the boat. Okay, six rings. Want to ride the boat? Six rings. Drive the boat. Want to drive the boat? You drive the boat. Six rings. No, seven rings. Now. Seven rings. You can drive the boat. You can also drive the Rolls Royce. I don't really drive because I'm busy coaching and winning. So
all I do is watch. See, I don't even drive the boat. I have somebody who does that for me, so yeah, it won't matter if you drive it or not.
Yeah. We had to scrub it out because Robert Kraft had the masseuse in there. This is just not good overall. It's just no big deal.
All right, let's go ahead and look at the toughest schedule in the NFL this year.
Oh my goodness. Okay, hold on.
Hey, look at, and I'm not just saying that because I'm a Patriots fan. It actually is the toughest schedule in the NFL.
Oh, legitimately, without question, the toughest schedule.
We got the Dolphins, the Seahawks, the Raiders, the Chiefs, Broncos, 49ers. Bills, Jets, Ravens, Texans, Cardinals, Chargers, Rams, Dolphins, Bills, Jets. This season, if they have a winning record, will be Bill Belichick's greatest coaching triumph of all time.
Oh, yeah, easily, without question. This is a hell of a schedule. When you look at this, so the only losing teams on the schedule are the Chargers, the Jets, and the Dolphins, and the Broncos. Because remember, the Raiders went, 8-8? The fucking Cardinals went 7-9, so I take it. See, I don't really call 7-9 a losing schedule, especially if you were only slated to win, like, two games.
Yeah, the Cardinals overachieved last year.
Yeah, so they definitely overachieved. So, the Cardinals are on their way up.
And the Bills are up.
The only problem with the Rams is that they can't afford anybody that's playing for them right now. This is rough. What are you looking at? I have a thought in my head, but like I said, I have two numbers in my head.
So I believe with what I've seen, and I've been following their practice this offseason since practice has started.
Yeah,
Cam Newton is knocking the rust off every game. He's had some very good practices. The first couple were rough, but he's starting to turn it around. I'm going to give my homer answer here, and I'm going to go 11-5 with the Patriots this year.
All right. That's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off. Hold on.
In Belichick, I trust.
In Belichick, you trust. Okay. All right. I can feel that. Okay. So I have two separate numbers in my head. Okay. So first and foremost, if Jarrett Stidham starts this entire season And then somehow we get to the Buffalo Bills game, or the Jets, the Bills game, in week seven. And he's still, it'd be week eight. I'm sorry. So we get to the week eight game against Buffalo, which I'm pretty sure Buffalo didn't win. And then all of a sudden it's Cam Newton. They're going to be working from behind, and then the team is going to go 8-8.
I do got to play devil's advocate here, but I was not really devil's advocate. Patriots advocate is the fact that if Stidham struggles in that first game, if he does start that first game against Miami, don't forget, Brian Hoyer knows this offense very well, and he is a backup.
True. But I think the confidence builder, I think they can beat I think they could possibly beat the Dolphins in the game one. I don't doubt that, okay? The Seahawks game is going to be rough. And that's going to be rough for their defense, too, having to deal with Russell Wilson. The Raiders game, I think they could beat the Raiders. I think they'll lose to the Chiefs. It's the back-to-back-to-back games with the Broncos, the Niners, and the Bills. That's what's going to cost Jared Stidham his job. The Broncos defense is still one of the toughest defenses in the NFL. We already know how the 49ers defense is. But then they're coming back home. And if they get fucked up at home against Buffalo, which is a very, very real possibility.
Hey, I think you're reading it wrong. The gray is away.
Oh, the gray is away. Is it away?
Yes. Look at the bottom.
Oh, gray is away. Gray is away. Okay. Let's try this again. So still beat the Dolphins. They still have to go to Seattle and beat the Seahawks. That's not going to happen. Home against the Raiders, they'll beat the Raiders. Chiefs, not going to happen. 2-2. But Broncos, Niners, and then Buffalo away. No, not going to happen. This is probably what's going to cost Jared Stidham his job if Jared Stidham is playing. And then they're going to turn the reins over. I would believe that Cam Newton would be ready to go by week 10. Right there. Okay? However, if Cam Newton starts game one of the NFL season, the Patriots will return to their former glory. Because it's then very simple. Beat the Dolphins. Beat the Seahawks. Beat the Raiders. And they finally get over the Chiefs hump. Four games. Then they beat the Broncos. Lose to the Niners because that's a tough-ass fucking game. It'll probably be one of the closest games that they've had to deal with. And it's going to suck because it's at home. But then they're going to come in and stomp Buffalo. Stomp the Jets. Get over the hump of Baltimore. Beat Houston at Houston. Beat the Cardinals, beat the Chargers, beat the Rams. They got an L.A. trip. And then have to come back to the West Coast. I think they'll lose the second game in Miami. They'll lose the second game in Buffalo for beat the Jets. That would make them 13-3.
So which one are you banking on?
I'm banking on Belichick going the safe route and doing the Jets game. And going with Stidham first. And then see if he fucked up because
Stidham was in the hospital for a leg injury yesterday.
See, that's tough. My thing is Cam goes day one, they're 13-3 team. If Stidham goes and they say we're gonna ride with Stidham until he fucks up, which is gonna be week six, week seven, week five, week seven, and week eight. That's an 8-8 season because I think they can come back and. Or even maybe 9-7.
I need one hard number for you, sir.
Why? Why do you need a hard number for me?
Because that's how this works.
Does it, sir?
Huh?
Does it, sir? Is this how it works?
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right, fine. I'll give you – let me play devil's advocate. If they give up on Jared Stidham early enough and Hoyer dies – because of the KC game, his arm just falls off his body because he's having to play from behind. I'll give you 10-6. But that means right, Buffalo's going to win the division.
All right, so I was going to say that. You have Buffalo win the division. I got the Patriots win the division. And we actually have the same record as both of those teams.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe in Buffalo. I don't think unless something drastic happens, Buffalo's going to continue on the same.
Hold on. Pull up our cameras real quick.
I'm getting there. Hold on. Yes, sir.
Anybody who has followed the Overtime Sports Show when we talked about the New England Patriots and Cam Newton, you looked at me crazy when I was talking about Buffalo was going to win this division.
I did, okay? I thought about this. But the very real situation is that they will go with Stidham on the because he knows the playbook. Regardless,
Stidham is not going to start.
Which is why I said if Stidham starts, they're an 8-8 team. Okay? If Cam Newton starts day one, they're a 13-3 team. Hands down. Because Cam Newton is going to go balls to the wall. We talked about this a few weeks ago, and I said if Cam Newton goes day one, the Patriots are back to former glory. There is no question about it. I don't doubt that. A matter of fact, I would even go on to say that if Cam Newton starts day one, and he's healthy, day one, the Patriots will be back in the Super Bowl. They will fix their Baltimore issue. They will fix their fucking Kansas City Chiefs issue, their Houston Texans issue, and most importantly, their fucking Miami Dolphins issue, because that's the issue.
I don't see how you say they have a Chiefs issue when Patrick Mahomes only beaten them once in his career.
Well, that's all it took, because that's when after Patrick Mahomes beat them, everything went fucking downhill. All the doubts start being juggled around and shit.
So he's got the Buffalo Bills winning the AFC East and toppling the New England Patriots. I got the New England Patriots going 14 years in a row of winning this division.
With an asterisk. An asterisk.
But anyway, we're going to cut this one off right here. And this has been the AFC East rundown of the NFL preview. My name is Ben. That man over there, that is Hollywood J. Black. And we are out of this bitch. This is...